Hello and welcome to Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, where we talk about scientific misconceptions we all have, and we hope that you learn something new about the world. I'm the host today, Margaret Hanslick-Burton, and you might be wondering, where is that handsome co-host of yours? How do you know he's handsome? I mean, he is very handsome, but how do you know? Where are you? Anyway, Camden got his second dose of the vaccine yesterday, which is great, but he is pretty sleepy, so I'm letting him nap this afternoon. It'll just be me here for most of the program today. A reminder, get vaccinated if you can, because vaccines are true modern-day miracles, true scientific miracles. So if you can get vaccinated, please, please go for it. Welcome to the show. Our first segment every week is where we share something that we are excited about. And I don't know if excited is the right word for this, but I wanted to mention that earlier this week, Derek Chauvin was found guilty on all counts in the murder of George Floyd. And again, I don't think excited is the right word, astonished maybe, and I can't believe that he was found guilty. And I've reflected on, you know, what does it say that we're shocked that a man who committed murder is actually found guilty of murder in the court system? So a lot to think about. But a small victory, I guess, a lot to think about. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I would encourage everyone to get on Anti-Racism Daily's email list. Again, that's Anti-Racism Daily. You can just Google that and find out how to sign up. They send out thoughtful, insightful, well-researched pieces every day about confronting racism in our lives. And I am learning so much. Of course, I've still got a lot to learn, as we all do. It's also Earth Day, when I'm recording this anyway. And I'm thinking about how I can celebrate the occasion on a deep, impactful level that benefits people and planet. I'm thinking a lot about that as well. And I would love it if you could tell me in the Instagram or Facebook or Twitter comments how you're marking the occasion. I want to quickly make sure to thank our Patreon subscribers, including Claire and Young. Thank you so much for your support. You know, it does take time and effort for Camden and I to create this podcast, and we really appreciate your support for our work. If you have not already done so and you want to support our show and get an awesome shout out, just like Claire and Hyung did, you can visit patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg to fund the work that we do on this podcast and our other podcast, Gotta Classify Them All. If you'd be so kind and you're able to, you can choose one of three support levels, and the top two levels earn you access to bonus content. But if you are not in a financial position to support us, we get it. No worries. You can still show us some love by telling your friends and your family about us and by leaving a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening, everybody. All right. Well, Camden is awake for a little bit, and he is going to join us for our segment called What Is That Sound? Now, the sound is not our neighbor mowing, and it's not our dog Satchel squeaking her toy. Those are sounds you may hear. Camden, hello, welcome. Congrats on that second vaccine.
My COVID lovelies, how's it going?
So, Camden, you are going to play for me some science-related sound, and I have to guess what it is. Are you ready?
Yeah, I dreamed up these sounds in my COVID vaccinated state.
Okay, I'm excited to hear what we've got.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Huh. Okay, so what I heard was a buzzing sound.
There's something else going on with it,
and then
too.
There was kind of a muffled rumbling. Mm-hmm. Almost like a butt dial, like a phone in a pocket. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
No, I bet not.
I butt dialed someone in my state.
Okay. the buzzing sound makes me think that it's something that's difficult to hear in nature.
Yes. Why do you say that?
Because if you record something like our favorite, a toad,
yeah,
there usually wouldn't have to be that buzzing sound because it's much, a toad's, you know, sounds are a lot more easily picked up than that.
Okay.
There's Satchel with her squeaky toy.
Yeah, we're both awake now.
Yeah. I'm going to say that it is something from outer space. Like, that's what it sounds like. That's what a storm on Saturn sounds like.
Cool. You just want one go?
Yeah, I feel confident.
Wow. Short episode? One guess?
No, let's hear it one more time. One more time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I stand by my guess. All right, Camden. That didn't provide me any more clarity. I'm sticking with my guess of storms in outer space. Tell me what it is.
It's Martian breeze. Holy cow.
Oh my gosh. This is the closest I've ever gotten. Yeah. Tell me about that.
It's from Perseverance. It's on...
And what's Perseverance?
The Mars rover currently.
Oh my gosh.
So it landed in February, and this is the first recording of Martian land.
Wow.
So you are hearing the Martian rover.
Yes.
Electrical beep boops. And the little rumbling you heard, the muffled sound, was the breeze from Mars.
Oh my gosh. That is incredible. What a great idea. And I'm going to pat myself on the back for getting very, very close. I should have guessed, if I was going to guess a storm in space, I should have guessed Mars because that's where we have equipment right now. Dang.
Yep.
Close though.
Well, you did so well. I'm actually going to go back to sleep.
Okay. Well, great. That was exhausting.
Get your second vaccine, everyone. And first.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thanks, Camden. Good night.
Night.
So let's head into the main segment of the show, which of course are the misconceptions. It's just me this week, and I've brought a misconception from childhood, and maybe this is true for our listeners as well. But one of my classes, like many elementary school classes, raised butterflies. They arrived in our classroom as caterpillars. We raised them to butterflies and then released them. And I remember being told to not ever, ever, ever touch a butterfly on the wings because then they wouldn't be able to fly anymore because this dust-like substance would come off and not allow them to fly. And if a butterfly can't fly, you know, it can't get food and then it will die. So essentially, I believed that touching a butterfly's wings equaled death for that butterfly. The idea, as you might have guessed from the nature of this podcast, isn't true. My sources for this misconception are the Essig Museum of Entomology, Matthew Reitz, who is the director of the Madison Audubon Society, the Wisconsin State Journal, BBC's Science Focus magazine, and the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food, and Environment. So real quick, let's just cover the difference between butterflies and moths. You may think of some already that come to mind, and these are just sort of overarching differences. They're not true in every single species in every single case, but starting with the antenna, moths usually have fuzzy, feathery antenna, while butterflies usually have clubbed antenna. So their antenna are round at the ends. And then, of course, moths are usually more active at night, while butterflies are more active during the day. Satchel, our dog, has really been taking an interest in butterflies recently. She really likes watching them fly around. Neither here nor there. But butterflies also, usually, not all of the time, but they usually rest with their wings held vertically, sort of upwards, and moths rest with their wings out horizontally. And then finally, we tend to think of butterflies as more colorful, while moths are more drab grays and browns. But again, this is usually the case, but there are some very colorful moths out there as well. So if you look up the elephant hawk moth, for example, they have pops of bright pink all over their bodies. Very beautiful. So going back to the misconception, I had this idea that this dust-looking stuff on butterfly wings would come off and stop the butterfly from flying. So what we think of as dust or powder on a butterfly's wings is actually the tiny, tiny scales that cover butterfly and moth wings. Lepidoptera, which is the scientific name for butterflies and also moths, actually means scale wing. Very descriptive, very accurate. Love it. Lepidoptera. Some butterfly scale colors are structural, and they result from the refracted light off of the ridges on the scales. That's the case with many blues that we see on butterfly wings. But other colors on butterfly scales are the result of pigments and the light that's reflected through these holes on the surface of the scale. You can find online some images of really, really magnified butterfly scales, and you can see those holes. But butterfly and moth scales don't only help create colors that might camouflage or scare off predators or help them blend in, but they also might help with temperature control, called thermoregulation, and could possibly help with flight, although butterflies and moths don't need to have their scales to fly. Butterflies also shed their scales on their wings periodically throughout their lives. So, will touching a butterfly gently on its wings hurt it? According to Matthew Reitz, the executive director of the Madison Audubon Society, if you handle a butterfly gently and happen to touch their wings, they will be fine. Even butterflies that are more sensitive to touch than others are still fairly hardy. You may have seen, like I have, butterflies that have pieces of their wings missing, maybe from a bird or something like that, and they are still able to fly. So they are okay losing a few scales if they're touched. That's all right. Monarch butterflies, a species that's often tagged or touched because they need to be tagged, are particularly sturdy, and they won't even lose scales at all generally when they're touched gently, very gently. Handling is helpful for the survival of some species of butterflies, like the monarch, so that they can be tracked and they can be studied. How are these monarchs tagged? You might be thinking of maybe like a tag on a shark, where they have some sort of small instrument on their fin. It's much, much lighter, much less technological with butterfly tagging. Volunteers and scientists gently will put a light circular sticker on a butterfly's wing, and that sticker has a code unique to that individual. So that way, when the monarch butterfly is seen in Mexico, where monarch butterflies migrate, they migrate south, then the scientists and volunteers there in Mexico will know that tag and that individual number and that code, and they will be able to track where it came from. It's kind of like that program where you could track dollar bills where they've been. I've never actually done that, but I see it from time to time. It's kind of along those lines. You can track where the butterfly has been so that we can learn more about them, learn about the threats they're facing. But how did this misconception of if we touch their wings, then the dust will come off and then they won't be able to fly, how did it get started? I think it's because if you are touching a butterfly's wing hard enough for lots and lots of scales to fall off, you are probably touching that wing hard enough to do structural damage as well, which is what would possibly keep it from flying. So it's not that they're losing scales that's making it hard to fly. It's that you, if they're losing a lot of them, it may speak to the fact that you've done some real physical damage to them, to their wing structure. So generally, a good rule of thumb when considering touching any animal is whether you really need to or not. Of course, you want to take into account if that animal is dangerous, but butterflies probably aren't going to be that way. But unless you're volunteering to help tag butterflies, something along those lines, we probably don't need to be touching them at all, and that way we won't have to worry about whether they can fly or not. However, if you want to get involved with butterfly conservation, butterfly tagging, or you just want to learn more about how to help butterfly populations, you can visit monarchwatch.org. There's all kinds of great information on that website, from how to have a great garden that will attract monarchs and everything in between So visit again monarchwatch.org for more information. So before we end each episode, we have a short segment sharing something interesting that we've consumed in some way, read, listened to, watched, something along those lines. So again, it's just me, but something I consumed this week that I really enjoyed was a movie called Crimson Peak with Tom Hiddleston, Jessica Chastain, and Mia, I forget her last name, but Crimson Peak is the movie. It is gorgeous. The set is gorgeous. It's about this, it's like a gothic ghost story slash romance. There's a seemingly haunted house. I don't want to give too much away, but it is my gothic dream. It is gorgeous. The scenery is gorgeous. The set is gorgeous. The costumes are incredible. I really enjoyed that it was scary and suspenseful, but not too scary. And then the soundtrack is also beautiful and haunting. So I really enjoyed Crimson Peak. Well, thank you so much for listening today. If you liked this episode or any of our others, please rate us and leave us a quick review on whatever podcast platform you're on. Written reviews help new listeners decide if they want to give us a go. So help us out, help new listeners out by leaving us a quick positive review. We also now have a bookshop site. You can find all of the books we've ever recommended on our podcast in one place, at Bookshop. Bookshop helps readers find books at independent bookstores while giving a percentage of any books purchased to the folks that recommended them. In this case, that's us. You can support us and small businesses by checking out our Bookshop page at bookshop.org/shop/don't-pee-on-your-leg. Again, that's bookshop.org/shop/don't-pee-on-your-leg. You can also find more content from us on our social media pages. On Instagram, we are at Don't Pee On Your Leg. On Twitter, we are at Don't Pee On Your Leg, just the letter P. And Facebook, we are at facebook.com/don't-pee-on-your-leg. Don't Pee On Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions is a podcast produced by Two Birds, One Scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at twobirdsonescone.org. Original music is by Camillo. If you have scientific misconceptions that you'd like explained or you want to provide feedback to us, please email us at don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com. Have a great week.